do this.
Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Blog Talk Radio. The show is called Optimize My Life on the Blog Radio Show, a radio television radio station. My name is Ron Clayton. I'm sitting in host for Gary Helfenstein today, and today is our show is commonly known as Prosperity Wednesday. We discuss a number of issues, and primarily recently we've been speaking a lot about tiny homes and tiny home related real estate issues and things. And we do have a guest that's already jumped onto the show here, ready to go right here at the start, Pat, and we're so glad you're on today. Pat, I'd just like to take a moment for new folks that may come on the show or listen to it in archives. We always let everybody know that you can go to the Blog Talk Radio Show and go to archives under Optimize Your Life and pick up a show, and every show is labeled, and this is you'd find this under Wealthy Wednesday. Someone just coded that name into that as a reminder. And so the Blog Radio Show is an outreach of the Hope Collection, the nonprofit 501c3, founded by Dr. Joel Griffin and his wife, Artith. And for over 1,800 episodes, we've been broadcasting Monday through Friday at noon Eastern time across the nation, and we even have some connections that take us offshore to 53 other countries. So with that breadth of outreach, and then what are we doing with our outreach? Well, the Hope Collection has as a foundation the bywords of helping others by helping them help others. And, you know, you always hear people, you know, it's real cool to be helping others today, and especially, you know, with the hurricanes and the stuff that we've gone through politically, socially. We talk about the bad weather, all the things that we've gone through in the last year and a half, the other Chinese things that were infiltrated our country. There are a lot of people that are hurting in a lot of ways, and there are a lot of people that aren't necessarily hurting, but their hearts have been touched, and they want to touch other people's lives. They want to help them. So what we do is give people a cause and a process and tools to do the job. Pretty simple, actually. And so what I'd like to encourage you today is to know that this is an open show. When someone calls in, as when I'm hosting the show, I open the mics for anybody and not all to be able to have a word. You might have something in an area that we're talking about that you want to contribute information to. It might be more depth of what's happening in that area. It might be to bring a new view or vision of what's happening. Or you need, don't ever let me forget, that someone can come on the show that has an actual need or a goal or a project they want to pursue. And that's what this whole show is all about. And Hope has 8 areas that we primarily operate under or above, because I call them columns. And the first one is faith, family, housing, education, the arts, health and wellness, water and energy. So if you have something in any of those 8 areas that you would like to have influence into or get help for, you're at the right place. So I believe Country Boy just hopped on from up there in Hot Atlanta. Is that right, Country Boy? Hope, maybe that's not Country Boy. I just saw 770. I'm sorry. Maybe this is his executive assistant. Is that what it's called?
I'm here.
Oh, that is you.
Yes, sir. I say it's me. I am who I say I am, and I can do everything I say I can do. I'm empowered by the Holy Divine Spirit.
Well, that's great, Country Boy. Pat is, I bet you, I know that Barb Riley, who was very regularly on the show, actually heard her husband on a little escape. I don't call that a little escape. They're in a wonderful retreat in a place that some people, if they've been in Buffalo for any length of time, especially in the winter, they'd tell where Barb and her husband are staying. It's almost paradise. Because number one, you've got the cool breezes coming off the ocean. You've got wonderful sand. You've got beautiful, beautiful surroundings and accommodations. And it is a dream setting. And so we just welcome everybody to the show today and who'll be coming on board. And Pat, did Barb share anything specifically, or did you have something that from the other shows that you'd like to introduce today?
I'm sorry, did you ask, I missed, did you ask me the question, Pat Dunham?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
okay. I, as any of you regulars know, I'm the Tiny House Advisor. So you can find me at tinyhouseadvisor.com. And I brag a lot about this, but I'm the walking encyclopedia. There's hardly anything I don't know about living tiny, preparing to live tiny happily, and be able to downsize and all that kind of stuff. So I'm open to questions, and I'm always willing to make some comments that could be helpful to other people.
Pat, I just had a thought I'd like to share with you. You and I have not had a lot of conversations together because I'm not on every show. I host many of the shows during the week, and I got to take a couple days here and do some things. My wife gives me some honeydews to do. I also own a travel agency. I'm also running a program called Healing America Through Hope with a big celebration next July 4th with 10,000 people on our waterfront. So I kind of sometimes I get overstretched because I'm trying to help all the areas that we've made commitments to help to. So I wanted to ask you, would you use the words moving into a tiny home versus renting an apartment, would you call that good stewardship?
I'm not real clear on your question. However, if somebody wants to move into a tiny house, I mean, they have to be able to afford it and they have to find a place to put it and all that. Someone that's going into an apartment, one of my big suggestions, big, is that if somebody wants to go tiny and they can't afford it or all the things I just said, they haven't a place to put it, whatever the case may be, they should consider going into an efficiency or a studio. They're both the same thing. They're a lot smaller. It's a lot like living in a tiny house. The only drawback on it is the possibility that it doesn't have the built-in storage that tiny houses are very famous for. But nevertheless, if someone wants to go tiny and they can't afford a tiny house or find a place to put one, like I said, they should at least consider going small, you know, whatever size. They can start out with a one-bedroom and then continue to move into an efficiency or a studio in order to be able to live tiny, save money, and, you know, have all the benefits of these.
Well, when I use the word stewardship, what I mean is that when you invest in a tiny home, one of the things that is one of the serendipities, I like that word serendipity because it always means it's a surprise. You're not necessarily counting on it, but it's a benefit. It comes as a result of your action you took. And that benefit in this case of good stewardship is that a tiny home builds equity. It creates value. You're not losing value. You go to an apartment, number one, all you're doing is giving up your money. Number two, you're not getting any equity, and you can't. So there's also, as an apartment, you're at a fixed point, and you're going to stay a fixed point, where the blessing and the ability of a tiny home is that you do have the ability to have move-in, mobile. It's not a mobile home. Run a mobile home, get a SUV or RV camper, move. But I think what you're talking about is that the idea that there are circumstances, and what tiny homes has done is it's opened up a whole new chapter for people to have options. They don't have to wait to buy a home that they can afford of $200,000 or $300,000 and huge down payments and all criteria. No, it's not going to happen for a lot of people in today's world. The economies and everything has changed too much. And so this has really opened the door for a significant number of people. I'll call it at all ends of the spectrum. What I mean by that, retirees that maybe already do have a home that's, it could be substantial, multiple bedrooms, be nice size, be in the, an exclusive part of town. Maybe not. It could be anywhere, but they own a home. And the thing is, it's two people, maybe, it's got lots of stairs, real stairs. You're like, we're not talking about 10 stairs to the second floor. We're talking that you got to really haul upstairs and haul downstairs and got a basement and all that stuff. It's not convenient. It's not necessarily the healthiest thing for a lot of people. But a tiny home can be a very, 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 yes, it's smaller, but it can be a very efficient way of living. And you may not need the space that it might need in a full-blown community home that are everywhere else in the country. So that's an advantage for some people. And then also you've got the idea that for some people, they want to be snowbirds, but, they like living up north in summertime when we got 90 degrees of heat and 90 humidity here too. You may not want to live in hot Atlanta, country boy, but you can move it up north here for 8 months of the year and move it back down. If maybe you got a family that's got a farm and you can move it up out of the farm, you put it on the property. You're not into paying rent. It's a relative. Maybe you own the farm. I don't know. But, you can negotiate things that you can't negotiate in a standard stick-built foundation home. So there's options that the tiny home program really delivers to unique. Now, on the other side of it, I said older people. How about younger people? Their view of getting into a home, they know once they get a home that they're no longer going to be doing a lot of travel, probably, because to pay for it, it kind of is restrictive. But, you can have a tiny home, and you don't have to move it, but you can get in and out of it and go places a lot more easily, a lot more flexibility, without having been held down by a burden of a big, huge mortgage. Speaking of mortgages, you can get a mortgage with a tiny home. And so rates on tiny homes are considerably less than credit cards, buying the loan money to build up and build a value of a multi-dwelling house or a multi-level, two-story, three-story house. Yeah. So there are a lot of really neat incentives to look seriously today at the option of tiny homes.
Nope, that's for sure. The other thing that, along with what you're speaking of, for years, people have had that vacation home up in the mountains. And they go there for a few weeks of the year, and that's it. And now a lot of them are renting in the meantime on Airbnb, and they have someone local taking care of it. But tiny houses have become very popular for vacation homes because it's way less, to build them and keep them up and everything, and they still can rent them out if they wanted to.
Good advantage. Country boy.
Yes, sir.
I know you were trying to reach me, and I apologize if I was so unavailable yesterday afternoon. Just couldn't make it happen. So, you've had several meetings, I understand, and some projects are in the works. Was there something that that you'd like to share with the world?
Well, I always got plenty to say, and my granddaddy used to say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. So if you hear me speak, it's going to have good connotation that comes behind my words. But I like what we're saying, I love what we're talking about, but God says I'm going to do a new thing. So we're putting a new twist to a lot of the things that used to be. Matter of fact, when we hear tiny homes, Barbara and I have been talking, and we had a conversation with Kurt yesterday. We're looking now, since Hope has been around for a while, and we're not just Old Testament, we're New Testament. instead of downsizing, we call it right-sizing, okay? Instead of tiny homes, to me, words are powerful. They lied to us all those years and said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, I was reading in that little book. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word has a lot of power to it. So Barbara and I, after we did a couple of shows together, we decided that it's okay if the builders want to call them tiny homes, but over here where we have and live in Hope Land, we call them attainable homes. Let me say that one more time. Attainable homes. They're attainable, sustainable, resilient homes, because most people in life, biggest dream in life is they want to have the pursuit of happiness. Everybody deserves to be happy. But if you interviewed the world and they said, what is one of the things that you've always had on your priority list in your life? And they said, I just want to own my own home. They didn't say what size it was. They didn't say it had to be 3,200 square feet or 1,200 square foot. They just want to own. Did y'all hear that word? Own my own home. So what we know nowadays is what people been wanting is attainable. So we're going to stop calling them tiny homes. We're going to call them attainable homes, because I'm going to just say one more thing and then I'm going to turn it back over. But big dreams start in tiny rooms. I built my first house from thinking about it in a small little, we call it a prayer room. It's about the size of my mama's coat closet, you know. But I was sitting there, they said, what country boy? He must be in there dreaming again. Dreaming to do what? Dreaming that one of these days I would own a home. Well, God told me in whisper, he said, you're dreaming too small. Only own 5 homes now. But
there you go.
They started out as tiny homes. My sister, who lives down in Tampa, Florida, me and my brothers, we got a bunch of brothers over here, we went down and built her a Habitat home 20-something years ago in one weekend. They call it prefabbed. We went out there, and it would be about 4 of us that had the whole wall. We would walk, they took the wall off the truck. The foundation had already been poured. It's always good to have a good foundation. And we had a nail gun that shot the nail through the wood and right into the concrete. And I go, wow, I'm country. We don't have nothing like that in the country. But we built her house in one weekend. And 2 years later, my sister says, my bedroom ain't big enough. Can we take the wall down, honey? And they said, yeah. They jacked the roof up, took the wall down, moved the bedroom 20 feet that way and made it 14 foot wider, and she's got a walk-in closet and triple, double sinks and zoop, 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 but it started from a tiny home. So we can take tiny and put another tiny on top of your tiny. Now you must be 2 times tiny. God says, I'll give you a double portion blessing if you'll just think it and believe it. So I'm going to kind of coast to a stop, because you know I always got plenty to say. But, Ron, can you check the board? I invited a friend of mine. He's a mighty Aquarian. When I first met him, I didn't really like him. It was like putting 2 pit bulls in the same room, and we wanted to own the air territory. But I was visiting in the Florida in this big giant mansion, and this guy came out and says, look, we bought $40 million homes, not a million dollar home. He says, we bought $40 million homes, and we're going to help other people get into it. I said, you're kidding me, right? So if you see a number out there on, if all the lines are unmuted, I talked to a friend of mine. His name is Romeo. Women, don't get excited. Sit back down. Romeo has infinite wisdom, knowledge. He acts like he's a lawyer because he knows the stuff that lawyers won't tell you. And lawyers are on your side until you run out of money. But see, some of the stuff that Romeo shares with people, you don't even have to pay him for. Ron, you remember you told me a few weeks back, country boy, I got a lot of stuff going, but I will never hoard information from you. So if you can't afford it or don't know what to do and don't know who to call, Pat just told you, you can't really ask me a question. I'm an advisor. If I don't know the answer, I'll go find the answer. But if Romeo's out there, I'd just like for him to share a few minutes on what people need to do, because we've all messed up somewhere in our lifetime, and there's sometimes things pop up on your credit. And 90% of the time, if you've ever tried to buy a car and go over here and they turn you down and go over there and they turn you down, they'll turn you down because of your credit, but they really won't tell you why they turned you down. And even worse than that, not only do they tell you why they turn you down, they won't tell you what you need to do to fix your situation so that you can come back later. So I have a friend of mine, Carol. She was on the phone with us the other day, and she told what we need to do to restore credit. But, Romeo, are you out there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Hey, hello, to Romeo, guys. Romeo, go easy on them now, Romeo. Don't take it to court, Romeo. But share with us, Romeo, there's some federal laws. You know how they say if I only knew better, I could have done better? But it's a known fact that you can't do, you cannot do what you don't know how to do. Romeo, drop some stuff on us that people don't know about. On how I don't want to talk too bad about the federal government because they're listening. But tell them what the government don't want them to know. Romeo.
Okay.
Romeo, first of all, this is Ron Clayton, the host. I'm the president of the Board of the Hope Collection. I want to welcome you to the show. The fact that Country Boy invited you to be here today, I want you to know that we consider that special. We consider special that you would come and join us. We just are so proud when Country Boy introduces one of his special friends. I want you to know he just doesn't bring anybody to the show. And so we want to honor you and edify you before you even had said a word. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to say thank you guys for having me. The knowledge that I have is not meant to be kept secret. Those that hoard these secrets are the ones that are in control. And if you know the secrets that they do, then you can stand on the square and you could be a master of your own self. And that is the topic for discussion. How did we get here? I was a real estate investor. I bought into this whole fiction where I needed to chase money, and success to me was money. And that's what... I think everybody here has focused a large part of their life on, because money is the thing that help us do anything and everything we wanted to do, from clothes, shelter, food, and it's something that we were brought up doing, but it's not natural, and it's not God's law. We are the only creatures on the planet that pay rent, pay for food, or pay for anything. Out of the trillions of species, if we're the most educated, if we're the smartest, if we're at the top of the food chain, why is it that we're the only creature on the planet that pays rent? Think about it. None of this is real. So I've known in the background, and what I am also is I'm a martial artist. Let me go even further. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Ruth, Esther. So I can go through the books of the Bible. We can sit here and we can have a conversation about it. And how I learned about the Bible was in my and from now on, once you know things, you can't go back. So I'm going to open up a door for you. No one here should ever call themselves humble. No one ever has to humble themselves. No one ever should use that word in context with who they are. Why? Because when you say, oh, my humble beginnings are this or that, you have to go to the root of the word, the etymology, and the original definition. So the language that we speak, it's very powerful. It means, it's just like Country Boy said, that, and when you speak words, it creates images and it creates patterns and vibrations. And the vibrations and patterns that you need to be able to speak are vibrations of power instead of...
Romeo, I don't want to interrupt you, but for some reason, to me, on my end, you keep fading a little in and a little out. So if you got
okay,
some kind of advice, make
now?
Sure and stay close. Yeah, that's better.
Can you hear me better now?
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. So basically, where was I at? I'm sorry.
You were talking about the word use of the word and it's, we've been talked about humbleness.
Great.
And so forth and so on.
So instead of me saying I'm going to start from my humble beginnings, I'm going to say I'm going to start from my noble beginnings. What's the difference between the words? Humble means you are of low birth. If you were birthed at the lowest, you will always be at the lowest. You are the bottom of the bottom. That's what it means to humble yourself. When you say you are of noble birth, that means you are a child of the Creator,
God.
Which is God, and you are of the noblest birth. So when people say I need to humble myself, you should noble yourself. You'll be nobling yourself. And that, those are the words that you should be saying, because it's different meaning, different connotation, different vibration, different power. So that's one of the one things. So in my noble beginnings, I learned as a Jehovah's Witness. And I was one of those little kids that knocked on your door and tried to give you a magazine and tried to close the door on me. I put the foot in the door, and then when you squeezed my foot and I made a little noise, you opened the door and you bought my magazine. That's how I started. And then I realized that that was not correct, because you can't live in a world where you would exclude other people just because their religion is not the same as yours. It made no sense to me. So I quit that at 16 as soon as I could. But I understood that you could, instead of sitting there watching people and showing up at like a church or a congregation and just, you know, doing things on Sunday to pretend, that you could get out there in the world and you could make a difference. Well, part of that difference is I have about 8 different black belts. I have in my life always wanted to protect people. I have never gotten to a fight, but I've always helped people if they were in a fight or if there was a problem, to be able to defend the weak. Basically, I've been running around as a warrior during the time of peace, or so I thought. What we're facing right now is we are living in the matrix that has us all believing that we need money to survive. And now that we all believe it, that's what everyone is doing. So if you tried to do something different, it would seem that you were out of the norm, as opposed to what every other animal on the planet eats, lives, sleeps, everything for free. They don't have the fake stresses put on them that have been put on us. And it's all part of enslavement. Now, let's bring it up to how does this help? So over the last years, I became a real estate investor. I went to many courses where I learned how to buy properties with zero money down, with negotiating, talking to the banks, short sales, foreclosures, all the way up to the last point where I had a group, and we bought 400 properties at the foreclosure auctions for 10% value of what it cost, turned around and rented those properties out, which made cash flow. So all in all, while I was doing all these things and I was in the system, I always knew something was wrong. And when you look at your average person, lives or dies by what the credit...
Fading in and out again, Romeo.
Okay.
When you look at the average person, you're fading in and out again. Come back strong.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Maybe the area I'm in. All right. So here's where the part gets good. People live or die by their credit. And I have a marketing company. And that marketing company, I also work with mortgage brokers. One of the mortgage broker clients I've done well with has asked me to do two things for him. He asked me to solve a problem where I brought in too many leads, so he needed help with a telemarketing service, so I helped him build a telemarketing service over the last several months. And then the last thing he said to me like 6 months ago was that his credit repair company, they were having a problem. And since COVID, it used to take 3 to 6 months to fix credit. Now it's taking 6 to 18 months because of the backlog of the credit. And he said, maybe if I can take a look into it and find a solution, he'd be interested in working with me. So I did what I normally do. I take it serious, and I went down the path, and I wound up going down the rabbit hole. What I found is that everything that's on your credit report that is wrong is illegal. It's against your consumer protection laws, and these are federal laws that supersede anything else. So based on the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Fair Debt Collection Protection Act, the Truth in Lending Act, these are all consumer protection laws and laws like United States Code, Title 15, Chapter 41. All of these are designed to protect you, who is the natural person, who are the sons and daughters of God, against these banksters who would subjugate you and have you work for your whole entire life thinking that you were doing something when, in fact, in 1933, since the United States went bankrupt and insolvent, there has been no money in issue. So what they've done is they've created a remedy for it. And what you understand, the remedy, it has to go deeper than what people believe. Because most of the time when you go somewhere, let's just say you're applying for a house or you're applying for a car, I want you to think of you walk in and you fill out a credit application. So let's leave it there. And then let's step back and let's use another example before we go back into that. Think of a check. Country boy, have you ever written a check?
Most certainly.
What's a check look like? What is it? What's
like
the information on a check?
It looks like a sheet of paper, usually has the banking information on, but it has a line where I can fill in the amount of money that I want to write the check for. It don't have no stipulations or tiny time at the bottom. It says how much the amount on the check that I'm getting ready to write is.
And you could write all that information in the check, but the check is invalid until you do what?
Sign it.
Until you sign it. So let's talk about the system and what that means in ecclesiastical law, what it means in commerce law, and what it means to be a son and daughter of God. How was Adam born? Because God breathed life into him. So when you write a check, you are like God, and you breathe life into it by signing your signature on it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Now, why is that the case? Because any contract that you sign that you put your signature to, you bring life to it, and it creates a security. It creates a note. It creates a check. And it doesn't matter what size the check is. If it's a little piece of paper that comes in a little checkbook that you're used to seeing, and you rip out the little check, then there's the bigger checks that have the invoices on them, and then there's other checks that look like 8.5 by 11, or there's other checks that could be looked at. Same information on it. So it's a contract, but when you sign it, it becomes that check that's payable or cashable. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So now let's talk about the two things that seem to be the same, but they're not. Credit and debt.
Romeo, hang on 1 second. Hang on 1 second, Romeo. We're at 12:33 now. So what I have to do is I have to have you make sure and give us the cliff notes because we have other guest speakers too. And
sure.
That we don't have the time for the whole course right now. But what I'd like for you to do is at least tell them about the part to where they can do stuff that they don't know that they can do to fix their credit. Because this show, what we do is we show people how to get and attain a tiny home. We tell them that we have maintenance agreements and so many other things. So make sure and bring us up to stage, but we're going to have to move back.
No problem. I'll go quick on this. And the reason why I wanted to explain this to you, because this is the most important, whether you get a tiny home, whether you get 50 tiny homes, and how do you do these things, and how do you do it in life, it's because you're getting your credit in order. And if your credit is in order, how to utilize it and get everything done in such a way that you can have unlimited credit. So every time you walk into any of these places and you fill out a credit application, what they do is they give you debt, and that is illegal. When you – credit and debt are two separate things. So getting back to, let's just say, your credit report. So I won't even get that deep, like you said. Getting back to your credit report, everything on your credit report that is on there is illegal. So you can use consumer protection laws yourself. You don't need anybody. All you have to do is read the Fair Credit – but you must read the Fair Credit Reporting Act. You must read the Truth in Lending Act, and you must read the Fair Debt Collection Protection Act. So these are those three acts that are designed for, and then what you have to realize is you are two things, and that's when you talk to these companies or you deal with anybody, you must remember that you are not a citizen, you're not a resident, you are a consumer, or you are the natural person that gives you certain rights that the others don't. Because of
I have not read them, Romeo. I have not read them. I have not read them. Give them to us real slowly again because some of us are writing. Give us those three things that we need to check into so we'll know better so that we can do better, if you don't mind, Romeo.
Sure. It's the Fair Credit Reporting Act. It's the Fair Debt Collection Protection Act. And it's the Truth in Lending Act.
One more time. One more time.
The Fair Debt Collection Protection Act. The Fair Credit Reporting Act. And the Truth in Lending Act. So it's TILA,
awesome.
FDCPA, and FCRA. And those things
Thank
right
you,
there, Roman. you don't need a credit repair company to do anything. But if you read that, you'll be able to usually get almost everything off of your credit that you can. If you do have any problems moving on towards that and there are issues that are stopping you from getting a tiny home, then you can contact Country Boy and he can get in contact with me and we can set up a consultation. And then I can show you because I have access to a law firm. And what we do is we kind of like we sue them. But for every violation, for everything that's on your credit, there's a violation and there's a fine attached to it. So what we do is not only do we correct your credit, but we go after the people who've done it illegally and we collect on the violations that are there for them doing it. So that's how we can help. And then from that,
see, that
we'll
alone,
clear credit.
That alone is powerful. Now, Romeo, not meaning to be rude to you and cut you short.
No
but
problem.
Now, if there's somebody out there listening, I know you have enough to do. Mm-hmm. You got several businesses you own. And the reason I love this man is this man raises his kids. A lot of times I'm not taking away anything away from women because women have raised our children for the lifetime of America. But when a man comes around and stands around and takes the time to put the bottle and change the diapers, shout out to you for being a father. But, Romeo, for just a few super friends today, if there's somebody that needs to contact you, they got my number. But do you mind releasing your number to a few people that's going to have some more questions?
Sure.
I
have a number that you can reach me at. You can reach me at 786-361-7676. Best way to do is text me first, and then in your text put your name, and then below that put Country Boy or Tiny Home, either or, and then I'll know that you're from the group, and then I will take some personal time out to be able to talk to you.
And, Romeo, I'll make sure to invite you back to the show. You guys, just so you know, I call Romeo at 12:02 and say, Romeo, I'm live on the radio. I need you to come on, and I need you to talk. He says, anything you want me to do, Country Boy, I'll do. So I kind of disrespected him and didn't give him warning on who's listening, what the format is, how long, zoop, zoop. I didn't tell him none of that stuff. You heard him say he's a fighter. He didn't learn how to get in a fight. He learned self-defense so he could defend the weak. So I said, Romeo, I need your help. He says, I'm already here, Country Boy. What do you need me to do? So, Romeo, shouts out to you again, sir. He is a walking ton of knowledge. If I've ever had to be a cheerleader for small people, he's David from the Bible. He's David's little cousin, and he knows how to take the Goliath of finances off your back. You do not have to be frightened about being and have messed up and got bad credit because God says, I can give you a new. And Romeo is one of those little warriors that knows how to take your financial stuff off your back and take it down. Romeo, I'll make sure and invite you back to the show. But, Ron, real quickly, back over to you, sir.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Romeo for coming on this afternoon. Let you know that you are welcome to come back on the show. I think you have a lot of thoughts that Joel Griffin, the founder of the Hope Collection, my best friend, my business partner, my faith and spiritual advisor for 40 years, I just lost him a couple weeks ago, but he's still with me, with us. But he has a PhD in math. He's an advisor to three presidents. Reviewing all the laws and budgets that came to him from Congress, Senate, and House of Representatives, and whether he put an up or down thumb on them, three of those cousins listened to him, and so did the Parliament in Britain, Great Britain. And so man of wisdom and knowledge and discernment in most ways that I'm sure you would have incredible conversations together with. But you don't get him, but you get me. And I may not be the financial wizard that Joel is, but I've learned well and mentored under him for a long time. And we welcome you because I hear your spirit, I hear your wisdom, and it's the kind of thing that at the Hope Collection we have to have. We have to have more people understanding it. Romeo, we have one principle that Joel fought for from the day I met him over 50 years ago to the day he died, is that you had to create ownership in a family. Without ownership, you can't create any equity. Without equity, you can't. There's nothing to you to pass on to your future generations. And that's what's kept generations poor, and we're out to change that. And so we welcome you back. We'll have some more time. My phone number is 716-908-2300, and you're welcome, and we can speak sometime in the in-between, and perhaps we can start laying some groundwork to make you a part of the show and going forward where it fits into your needs and fits into the ability for people to learn from you. So thank you, Country Boy, for introducing Romeo, and we'll move forward as the show progresses. Romeo, you don't have to leave, and I appreciate what you shared today. There's true discernment in what you shared. And
I just want to say, I just want to thank you guys for giving me a platform to speak and share this information. But the end result, if I were to end it, would be, why would you have it? Because then for you buying tiny homes or for anyone, once you have good credit, we have access to credit enhancement. And then I have ways for you to go get corporate credit, which is about $250,000 in 0% interest, that you can use that money to then go purchase tiny homes.
Romeo, we're getting ready to do a – so, Ron, when we come to Atlanta, Barbara and Gary and the whole crew come to the home, Romeo, we're setting up a tiny home incubator, for lack of better words, here in Atlanta, and we're getting ready to have – break it out, what you don't know. You can't plead ignorance anymore. We brought in our super friends to share some knowledge with you so you can now be free at last. Romeo, you're on the top of the card when it comes to freeing people from that financial bondage that we've had and been tempered and lied to all these years. And Romeo has the secret, y'all, how to get free. And you have that power within yourself. If we know better, we can do better. Romeo, thank you so, so much for sharing your infinite wisdom and knowledge with us. You're a warrior, a true warrior.
It's been my pleasure, guys. I was actually in the middle of another business call, but I got to jump back into that. But I would definitely love to talk to you guys and see how we can move forward. Thank you, and have a great day.
Sure enough. Have a great day.
Now, Ron, has Barb made it on yet?
I haven't noticed her phone number on. Like I said, I know that she is. She's in the dream world of Southern Florida, and
okay,
she,
I heard that. So, Ron, let's do this then. Is it Pat that was talking when we first came on?
Yep, Pat's that's me. I'm here.
Pat, you know how?
Yeah.
Sometimes people are listening, but they didn't really hear what you said. As a matter of fact, I'll drop this on you, Pat, and we're going to go back over to you. I have a greeting card that I haven't released yet. But in the greeting card, this is what it says. It says, friends / family listen more than they talk, and they hear more than what's being said. I know you're paying attention, and you heard what I said, but did you really get what I really mean? Pat, one more time, sweetie, back over to you. Pat said, and I quote, there's not too much stuff that you could ask me about a tiny home that I don't know. Back in, I'm an old schooler. When we needed to know something, they said, go look it up. Like, how can I look up a word and I don't even know how to spell it? And I see the dictionary right there, but I'm scared to try to find a word. So, Pat, we still have a fear factor. Because a lot of people, if you would ask them, would you like to
own a tiny home, I guarantee you the high 90% would say, yes, of course I would. But, and then they cancel what they just said with a but, I don't know what to do. So, Pat, share again with us a few things. And, guys, I'm going to bring you up before the show ends what Barbara and I talked about, what Gary and I talked about, and what Kirk and I talked about. And then it just confirmed to me that Joel Griffin will never die every day for the rest of my life. I know that he's part of my conversations, the things that he mentored and taught me, the eight pillars that I'm going to make sure Ryan give those to you again on what hope focuses on. The battle can be multi-course when you're running with a team of people that says, I'm an expert in what you don't know. So back over to you again, Pat, because I think that you were saying a few things earlier when we first came on the show, and I think we're all in disarray, but I don't actually think that people heard what you were saying. So, Pat, if you don't mind, talk to us again about what it is that you do.
Well, I actually picked the name Tiny House Advisor because I figured it covered all the aspects of anything tiny, and by being an advisor, that means I must know what I'm talking about, and I feel I do, and I've lived tiny, and just a quick background, we even lived aboard a 55-foot motor yacht with our six children years ago, so believe me, I know how to live big, and I know how to live tiny, and love tiny. And it's helping so many people nowadays, especially with accessory dwelling units, where the person living in the main building can rent out their backyard possibly for an accessory dwelling unit to help support them, even if it's an elderly person, or they can have somebody back there helping them. So there's so many avenues and options. They aren't necessarily the tiny house which are available to drive down the road. The majority of them only move at the most a couple of times, you know, maybe every 2 years they might move to another location to work or whatever. There are some people that travel all the time in their tiny houses, but they really are the minority. It's mostly people that just want to live tiny, and they're parked on some farm somewhere, or they're in someone's backyard. And again, accessory dwelling units are very, very popular, and they're highly recommended for housing for a lot of people, like our policemen and our teachers and our hospitality workers and so forth. So there's so many options pertaining to tiny houses, and there's a lot involved. That it certainly would help people to check out all the possibilities before they jump in, especially if they don't know all the answers.
Now, here's what she said. There's options. To some people that live in a big house, they go by and they go, wow, look at that little tiny house over there. But if I was a veteran that fought in the war, that went out there to protect America, and on the top of the Hope Foundation list, it says something like first responders and veterans. That Joel just had a pure heart for that, and so do I, because it doesn't bother me that the world is having problems, because there's always going to be a good versus evil. What bothers me, you guys, is when I see somebody needing help, when I see somebody hurting, when I see somebody sleeping on the ground that already fought the battle, and when you take somebody that's had some limited space under a bridge just so they could stay dry for the night, and you put them into a place that has lights, water, my own refrigerator, they don't care if they got to sleep in a bag in their little tiny space. They just dreamed that when they could come home to the great U.S. of A., birds of the air have nests, foxes have holes, and men want have a place to lay their head. The devil is a liar. And hope is there to fill that gap. And when I said take the Goliath down, we shouldn't have our loved ones homeless. We shouldn't have mamas that are getting ready to deliver babies having to do it in the back seat of a car. They would love to do it in a tiny home. Who says it's not affordable when God says, I've already paid the price? So now we're going to stop coming up with excuses on why we can't do this. Oh, I'd love to build a tiny house, but I don't have no land. Well, your friend has some, and he lives right next door. I'm not angry, you guys. I just get upset when people need our help, when they need hope just to get through the night or another day. So when we're talking about tiny homes, that's a great word to the world. They've heard it, and they look down on you if you live in one of them. So Barbara says, Country Boy, what can we do to make it sound more appeasable? She says, I know that this is attainable. Oh, there it is, Barbara. Watch the words that are coming out your mouth, young lady. Attainable, sustainable, resilient. Oh, I love that word. I'm going to say it again. Resilient homes. Words are powerful, you guys. We've thought about it. We've many, many times dreamed, Diana. We dreamed about it. We pursued it continuously, persistently. And then all of a sudden, we kind of got tired, and we ran out of hope. Well, hope is alive today. We come to give you hope, hope, hope. That will help you believe in your heart. And if you believe it in your heart and you said it, the Hope Foundation is going to help you get it. It's attainable, you guys, right now. Attainable, sustainable, resilient homes that God is going to give to you. Back over to you, Ron.
Well, I don't know that I could ever top any of that, nor does it necessary. I think you really concluded what this and what you and our friends are all about. And I really believe I am, you know my heart, everybody that's ever heard me on this show. You know the heart and soul and artists have led and led us to have. Lord's led us to have. And we follow that
Ron,
path.
Remind them of those eight pillars, if you don't mind, before. We've got about six or
sure.
7 minutes left. Tell them what hope is founded on, Ron, if you don't mind.
Well, it's founded on the love of the Lord, first. But the pillars we operate on are delivering, sustainable, intensely successful connections to improve life in the areas of faith, family, housing, education, the arts, health and wellness, water, energy, and food. And so what we basically cover is everything that's important in life. And if you have a need, an area we want some help with, we've got either people. First of all, we've got people. Second of all, we have companies, and we have services that can be connected to
I'll put it down.
For resolution. And the key word
so
I'm going to use, Country Boy, got a lot of noise in the background there, somebody. The key word I want to use
somebody
is we're empowering families and individuals.
Somebody's doing dishes in the background, you guys. We've got a few minutes left. The call's being recorded. Please mute your phone. Please mute your phone. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, I think that's conclusive in the thought that what we're doing is we don't just talk about it. We are an organization of action and habit and solution. And we don't have 100% of all the areas all the time. I only know one place you can go to find that, and it's in a little black book. And I'm sure if you know anybody that has any faith anywhere in your community, you can reach out and ask someone for that kind of help. They'll give you that. Or anybody on this call, for that matter. If there's anybody that basically isn't calling in or doesn't host a show or lead a show that doesn't have some kind of connection in faith. And you don't have to believe what I believe, but you, in terms of the generalities of life, giving, living, and the outline. But there is one thing you better believe in. And you better believe in your Creator and accept His love and grace. So Because without that, this is going to be a lonely place when you're here alone. So, I think we're going to wrap up for the day, country boy, and we pray that everybody blesses somebody else today. Between now and the time you put your head down on that pillow, go out and bless somebody else when you're out and about, even if it's just to give somebody a smile, even if it's as simple as that. And if it's more than that, you might even get a little bit of courage, just a little bit, and ask someone, hey, is there anything that you'd like some help with that I could add, perhaps I can help you with? Maybe you can't, but you can at least ask and find out if they do. You might be the only person in their life that ever asked them if they could be helped. You may be the first one, and if you didn't ask them someday, they're going to say, gosh, if this person didn't come along and ask me if I needed help, I was ready to end mine. You might save someone's life just by asking them, can I help you? So make it a good day, guys. And we love you. We'll talk to you later.
Ron. We got 4 minutes left based on my calculations. Is there anybody out there that wanted to say something, wanted to add something, or had a question that we can even address you off air? But we got this time, 4 more minutes. Is there anybody else out there that wanted to say anything? I know we kind of overruled the call today, and I want to make sure this is an open-air call to where we love feedback from people. If there's anything out there, again, Ron usually tells every time that there's a www, the World Wide Web knows who we are, rrcenter.com, Research Resource Center. Forgive them, Father, because they know not what to do. We're not pleading ignorance anymore. If you don't know, ask Ron Clayton. Well, ask somebody. But listen, you guys, what Ron just said, they told me, and my grandmama says this, grandmama speaking now, baby, love and hope is the greatest gift of all. We didn't do nothing to learn it. We didn't do nothing to earn it. To each one of us, a measure was given. But I heard a lot of them religious people running around talking about it's a blessing to be a blessing. Well, Shakespeare put it in a riddle. To be, Ron, or not to be? Well, listen, you guys, if you're on this call, I don't even have to guess. You to be a blessing to somebody else, because somewhere along your path and your journey, you figured out that your life is much bigger than just you. So here's what I want to leave with you guys. Here's the short version of love and hope. Love and hope is not love until one gives, gives, gives. He gave us his wife. He gave us his son. Love is not love, and hope is not hope until one gives it away. So if you want to experience some love and hope today, then you start by going out and giving. Giving some love and hope away. Here's the twist in it, you guys. We're in a new time now. Practice it. I tell the kids, practice don't mean you get perfect. Practice means you only get better and better and better at whatever is that you, it starts with you. The world ain't going to get no better if we just let it be. It starts with you. It starts with you and me. So do unto others before they do unto you. You missed it. You was listening, but you didn't hear me. I said, do unto others before they do unto you, because when you give love and hope away, it comes right back to you. Ron says, just wave, smile, and the world will smile back at you.